Sports Radio 610. We do have boots on the ground in the Sunshine State, West Palm Beach, Florida, where Brandon Scott and Adam Spolane are there. We'll talk to Adam Spolane coming up at 4:35. His visit brought to you by Texas Bay Credit Union. They've been all over it at sportsradio610.com, on Twitter at sportsradio610. They've been providing the content all day long, and I love it. Let's go to the line, 713-572-4610. Fletcher, what's going on?
Hey.
Hang tight, Fletcher. We'll come back to you in just a bit. Instead, let's go to Phil. Phil, what's up?
Hey, JB. Big question is, has anybody read the MLB rule book?
Yeah. I'm ashamed to say yes, I have.
Okay. So where in there, in the 2017 rule book, does it state that what they did was illegal?
Putting me on the spot a little bit here, Phil, but if I remember correctly, it is very ambiguous and it is very gray, although there is, it's almost like an amendment, I think that it is, that you can't use technology in order to gain an advantage during a live game. So I believe that technically it is, but I do admit that it is ambiguous and gray.
Yes, I mean, and it's the grayest area part of the rule book. So it was actually implemented on the 2018 season, not the 2017 season. As far as to where it became from gray to solid black.
Here, Phil, here's my pushback on this, and I'm pretty much on your side on this, that I think it's been going on around Major League Baseball. The Astros, as you're saying, didn't really break a rule according to Major League Baseball in 2017. The problem is the memo, though, right? Robert Manfred sent the memo to every team around Major League Baseball and said, if you do not follow the rules as to what I'm telling you right now, there will be severe consequences and punishment. And the Astros didn't listen. So I can't defend the Astros for what they did in 2017 post-memo.
No, and I agree with you 100%, and that's what I'm trying to get at, right? So it was more of an amendment to a rule that was a gray area, and then he got the – it's basically like getting a warning speeding ticket, and then, you know, 2 miles down the road, you get the full-blown ticket, you know, because those are gray areas as well. But – the players probably did not get that info relayed over to them is part of the biggest problem. That's why all of them are sitting there saying we didn't cheat. None of them are saying we cheated. Make sense?
Yeah, it does. And appreciate the call, Phil. And so, I think it is. I think there is a, and maybe that's why Jim Crane's defending his players a little bit today too, which is the side that I'm taking, that Crane has been defending his players today. To me, his actions have spoke louder than his words. What Jim Crane has done post Major League Baseball commissioner's report on the sign stealing scandal has proven that he was committed to what was right and wrong by Major League Baseball. Whenever he fired the greatest general manager in baseball history, he sacrificed him, saying, look, we did wrong as an organization. When he fired the manager that had won 100 games three straight years, Astros owner Jim Crane, actions speak louder than words, sacrificed A.J. Hinch to say, you were right, Robert Manfred. We didn't listen to the memo, and this is how we're going to pay as an organization. You suspend them a year, we're going to go a step further. But the players got immunity. The players maybe they didn't know in 2017. That's a bit of a stretch to me. But Jim Crane today was defending his players out in West Palm Beach.
When it's all said and done, there's no doubt about it that this whole situation, there is so much gray area that it's unfortunate that somebody's got to be the face of it, right? I mean, when you're talking about how many teams were cheating, how many teams were involved, how long have the – hell, I mean, Carlos Beltran in The Athletic, that article, he alluded to 2015 they were doing stuff in 2015.
Yeah.
But, right, then you look back at Major League Baseball, and the rules were not in place to keep this from happening, right? So there is so much gray area involved that it's hard to come to grips. If I were a player, I'd have a hard time coming to grips with what's gone on simply because there was so much gray area. All right, let me say this. Now I wouldn't have a hard time doing it, but while I was doing it, it would have been very easy to do because there's so much gray area that it's not like you're going out there and collecting the data. You're literally just taking something that's already being collected and you're standing outside banging on a trash can. I mean, it's really the actions, it seems, if you're in the moment, there's no rule that says, nope, you cannot do that.
You've been doing it for years.
Right? Nobody in 2017 passes down the memo that says, don't do it anymore, or guys will lose their job, essentially. Guys will be held accountable. It's pretty easy to understand how guys would end up being involved even if El Jefe being involved with Beltran and in the power that he had in the clubhouse. It's very, very easy to understand how this took place. It's very easy to accept the fact that it's pretty widespread throughout Major League Baseball. Hell, you got the two guys that were known for doing this, stealing signs essentially, and doing it in a very effective. Hell yeah, Beltran was doing it in an effective manner. He was the one that learned how to communicate it to the batter in live action. Yeah, he was known around the league for being really, really good at that particular part of studying film. Hell, he was really good at getting the information to the batter in real time. So, but that was known. And those guys went and got jobs, head jobs, managers of organizations. And so to sit around and think those guys got manager positions with the Red Sox and the Mets, and nobody involved knew what their reputation was. I mean, how much gray area is that, right?
Right.
As a player, you go, hell, he can do it. He can be the ringleader, and he can go get a manager job with the Mets. All I did was bang on a garbage can a couple times and get a couple of hits. I mean, so I could see where the Astros did what they did, and the caller is 100% accurate. The gray area is widespread on this particular topic. JB, I think it would help. And, again, I don't think it would help the Astros or this particular situation, but I think it would help Major League Baseball across the board. Because my opinion of Major League Baseball has changed. I was always in awe of guys' ability. I think it's one of the most difficult, if not the most difficult, it's definitely one of the most difficult things in pro sports is to hit a baseball.
I would agree with
and
that.
And to do that, that's coming 95 or that's falling off the table, that is the most. And I've always just been in awe of guys that could do it in a clutch situation so often and so good and make such solid contact. And I still think it's unbelievably difficult to do. But I look back and go, well, if somebody's telling you what pitch is coming, it's significantly easier. Let's say it happens twice in the seventh inning. It's significantly easier, right? The home run that Altuve hit off of Chapman, right? If he knew what pitch was coming, it's significant. And I'm not worried about the detail of that particular play. I'm saying that initially blew my mind.
Yeah.
But when I go, well, if he knew what pitch was coming, it's still amazing. But you know what?
I mean, if you decode it and you get it right, and you know that Aroldis Chapman's going to throw you a slider. I mean, yes, that is a major advantage.
It's changed my. I still think it's, whether you know what pitch is coming or not, it's still the most difficult thing to get solid wood on that little ball coming at 95 and moving.
Yeah.
It's still, but in my mind, I guess where I'm going with it, JB, is it's tainted my opinion of Major League Baseball and particularly the art of hitting the baseball. And not just with the sign stealing and banging the garbage can, the light in center field back in the 80s that Jack McDowell talked about. Those kind of things have tainted what I've always thought was the most difficult thing in sports. And I think where I'm going with this is I think that Major League Baseball would do itself a favor if they openly outlined the rules of these types of situations. What is legal? Was the code breaker operation legal? And it only became illegal when Carlos Beltran went back there and knocked on the door and got it live and they put a monitor outside? Or when did the cameras in center field and having direct being dialed directly into that room, when did that become illegal? You know what I mean? So all of those things, like if they would just, I think it would help across the nation, across the board. Look, there's some MLB heads out there that have read the rule book like you, right?
Sorry.
That you don't give a rip if they do that or not. We'll talk about it, but it's not going to change. I think there's a lot of just casual fans out there that would be interested in hearing what is that set of rules? What do those guidelines look like and when were they put in place?
Major League Baseball has been a game of cheating forever.
No question.
I mean, way back into like the 20s and the 30s, and you have pitchers that have used pine tar and sticky substances that changed the direction of the ball. Mike Scott, I mean, he was notorious for scuffing up the baseball. Whenever he was with the Houston Astros, the steroid scandal in Major League Baseball. So, and you know, we've heard like Jack McDowell, Black Jack McDowell, He said that Tony La Russa was doing it. We heard from that the Giants third base coach. I forget his name. He talked about how the sign stealing is something that's been going on forever. Joe Musgrove, former Houston Astro, 2017, he said, look, if Major League Baseball did as thorough an investigation as they did on the Astros, they wouldn't like what they have to hear or have to investigate and discover.
What they find, yeah.
But there's so many – that's what makes the story so – captivating is that there's so many different wrinkles of it. Were the Astros wrong by starting, you know, by doing it after the memo? How much did it impact the game? How many other teams were doing it? Who should be punished? Like, there's so many dominoes that are in this story. And so many people think if you have an opinion on this one, you automatically have an opinion on this one. Like, look, I think the Astros were wrong for what they did in 2017 post memo. No doubt about it. They did something that went against the commissioner's office of Major League Baseball. Do I think other teams did it too? Yeah, I do. But the Astros got caught, and they have only themselves to blame because they went against the rules of 2017.
Do you think Carlos Beltran was brought in simply because of his ability to do those things?
No, I don't.
I don't remember which article it was. It may have been The Athletic, where they said that he was brought into the Yankees. It was when Cora made the comments in the media afterwards.
That was 18 in the London games.
And they said that they were talking about the fact that he he's a member of the, I guess, the staff at the time.
Yeah, he was or like a consultant. He was like an advisor.
But he was never seen.
Yeah.
He was on the trips. He was on the different road game trips. He was on the plane, but he was never seen. Well, what's that? Where does that tell you he was?
Yeah.
Probably. Right? And then those guys go on and get head jobs. Do you think Alex Cora and Beltran, do you think both of those guys, either one of those guys got the manager position, the manager jobs they had without the clubs knowing those things about them?
I don't. I believe that there was some hearsay and probably some innuendo that they were involved in some way. But I think everybody was. That's the point. Is like, I feel like if any bench coach you were hiring as a manager in 2018,
you think he
like
was
75% of the guys were probably doing. I've talked to former Major League Baseball players. I've been told on authority that about a quarter of the league had been doing this.
Yeah.
And other guys like Joe Musgrove. I mean, you take don't listen to me. Don't listen to my source. Take Joe Musgrove, former Astro, 2017.
Yeah.
That other people as well. If you look into Major League Baseball teams, you'll find out that a lot more than you're willing to find out. And that's been my point for weeks too, Clint, is a point you're bringing up. Major League Baseball needs to be more clear on exactly what the rule is, and then they need to be proactive going forward on what they want to do with this as well. Like, don't just punish a team for doing it in 2017. Like, take your punishment. That's fine. I get that you have to do that. But let's be proactive going forward that this never happens again. And I haven't seen that from Robert Manfred in Major League Baseball. Instead, I've seen these gimmicky seven teams playoffs, all these new rules that really aren't helping the game in any way. Like, fix this situation. This is the biggest scandal maybe in baseball history. And what have you done? Retroactively punished a team in 2017. Maybe retroactively punished the Red Sox in 2018. Let's fix this going forward.
Right.
Let's learn from this mistake in baseball history and fix it going forward. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham. Coming up next, we're going to listen to a little bit of Jim Crane, Houston Astros owner, what he had to say today. Was he prepared? Was he unprepared? We'll get to some of your calls as well. 713-572-4610. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Should the Astros have been more prepared for the line of questioning that they were going to get today in West Palm Beach, Florida? Jim Crane asked about the players not being disciplined. Here was his answer.
Listen, again, I'll refer to the commissioner's report. I think he's taken a position, and I agree with it, that, you know, the players weren't going to be held accountable. The leaders were held accountable, and that's where we're going to leave it.
Sure, but that's a logistical issue from his standpoint, that you can't punish the entire team from the commissioner's office. I mean, the Astros have to be able to field the team this year. From your perspective, why don't you want to do more yourself as the leader of this team?
Well, you know, the commissioner has dealt with the players, and I stand behind his decision. I'm not trying to hide behind the decision. I agree with the decision. So we're not going to do anything to the players.
I know that the reporter's question isn't something that we're talking about here, but whenever she said it was a logistical issue, no, it wasn't logistical. The players were given immunity to take part in this investigation.
Well, she knows that it can't happen because the Astros wouldn't be able to fill out a team, is what her point was. But anyway, it's being prepared for certain questions was clearly not a priority for Jim Crane in particular on the portion of the today that was an outdoor press conference that was the orchestrated aspect of today, not the clubhouse part of it, but the outside part of it. JB, I mentioned earlier to you, if you and I did something, we'd go out there, we'd throw a PowerPoint together, we'd throw a big whiteboard up, and we'd go, hey guys, I know 100% we're going to get asked these 10 questions right here. We got to make sure that we've got a pretty good answer for it. And well, here's what we can't do, JB. What we can't do is consistently refer to the report that the commissioner did, the Major League Baseball commissioner did, and the findings of that report. And here's why, JB, that is a sign of avoiding something. That is a sign of weakness. That is a sign of I don't have an answer or I'm covering something up, right? In that particular instance, players not being disciplined. If I were prepared to answer that question, right, I would have said, guys, did y'all watch SportsCenter last week? On the ticker, it said that the players involved that were questioned were given immunity.
Uh-huh.
So we clearly, the commissioner can't do it, I can't do it, the head coach can't do it, nobody.
Dollar in the jar.
Nobody, when I say head coach, the manager can't do it, right? Thank you, guys. I'm going to take everybody out to eat at the end of this because I know that jar, if it were really there, it'd be full as hell. They've been given immunity. We can't do it. So I understand your question, and I respect your question. I'm not being disrespectful. But when it's all said and done, that is not an option. The players aren't going to be held accountable, and I agree. Does that open the book to go? Oh, he said he's not gonna hold his players accountable at all.
Yeah,
like you see what I'm saying? Where it's just such a weak answer to a question that you knew you were gonna get in a huge moment for this organization.
I see your point. I do disagree with it though, because to me the biggest piece of evidence in this whole scandal is the Major League Baseball Commissioner's report. What Robert Manfred put together and sent to the Astros in early to mid-January, that put together all the investigation, that put out the report, it told you the punishments, and it told you their findings. So whenever you have that piece of information, that's the end-all, be-all. And in that end-all, be-all, it says that the players were given immunity to take part in this investigation. So when Jim Crane is referencing that to this answer, to me, he's telling the reporter, look, this is what's in the Major League Baseball Commission report. We're going to abide by it, and we're going to respect it. We're going to live by it. And what is said in that commissioner's report is that the baseball players had immunity.
And again, JB, I get the explanation of the answer. But to me, this topic, this conversation we're having is about the report's already been the investigation's been done. The report's been out. We've all read that thing, okay? Now we decided to schedule this particular press conference, and we're all going to show up and ask questions. And it's inexcusable to use the investigation, the report, the information in there as a crutch when it's very, very basic questions. As the owner of the team, you essentially hired these players that got caught cheating. And what do you think about the fact that they're not going to be disciplined? Or however you want to word the question, like, you got to give me something. You can't just say, well, the report said we're not going to hold them accountable. Right? And even if that's what you're going to lean on, how do you say it in a way of we're not going to hold guys accountable? How do you not go, we gave them immunity, we cannot discipline them, even if we wanted to, we can't do it?
Yeah. That does sound
you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
My point is just the unprepared aspect of this thing.
Sure.
Right? We're not going to be talking about this in a year. This particular press conference and the way it was.
25 minutes.
But when it's all said and done, JB, it's just like, boy, it's such a bad look because this portion of today, they were so unprepared for. And you were given plenty of time, as you mentioned. You were given plenty of time to prepare for this thing.
Clinton, JB on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Crane, whenever we posed the question, were the Astros prepared or unprepared for today? Jim Crane was asked, should the World Series in 2017 be vacated?
I do believe that the Astros should still retain the 2017 pennant, you know, despite the way that the team cheated?
Listen, the commissioner made it clear that it wasn't going to go backwards. The championship would stay intact, and I agree with him.
So that was Jim Crane saying that he agrees with the commissioner said, that they're not going to go backwards, they're going to go forward. I agree with Jim Crane. What's the purpose or what's the point of going backwards and, you know, putting an asterisk, so to speak, on that championship?
And I agree. I love that part of it, right? But you're leaving out the part that he started with, which was what?
You tell me.
The commissioner. The commissioner's report said this, and so check this out. Here, let me put it to you this way. This is Lance McCullers, right? Essentially the same question.
Yeah, and like I'm going to keep saying it because it's the only thing to say. Everyone can draw their own opinion at the end of the day. Everyone can draw their own conclusions at the end of the day. There are a lot of things that I think, you know, guys aren't going to get into as far as that season and that postseason. But like I said, I can stand here, firmly believe that we earned that championship. And that's just my belief, and I'm just one person. And like you said, you know, people do put a lot into this game. People do put a lot into this winning these type of championships and all that kind of stuff. But as far as I'm concerned, I can stand on my own 2 feet, stand here in front of you guys. I'm not shying away from anything. I believe that that championship was earned 100%, and hopefully we earn another one.
Lance McCullers Jr.
Pretty good job, huh?
Right.
You follow me?
This is my point, though.
I understand your point, JB. I understand your point of protecting players. But what I'm saying is, in this situation, and you're not wrong. I agree with you that that's their number one job. The manager, the owner, and the GM is to protect their players and their employees. But when it's all said and done, there's one guy he's doing the right thing. He ain't saying anything that's going to get anybody in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But he's just taking the time because – they're in the situation that they're in, taking the time to answer the question in a very prepared, a very thorough manner. And I just feel it's very simple. The owner of the organization failed when it comes to being prepared for the questions that you know you were going to get hit in the face with. That's all. That's the only point is I look at it and I go, man, this was something that was scheduled, you planned, you wanted, you talked about, you discussed multiple times. We got to be more prepared than that.
I just can't believe that they had a month and they decided that, you know what, we're just going to go into it cold turkey. We're not going to look at everything all together.
Right.
Now, so to me, it's not a lack of that they didn't prepare. It might not be the theory that you want or the philosophy or the right strategy on how they want to answer the questions. Because to me, from start to finish, Jim Crane was consistent throughout.
He was consistent about that report now.
And that to me shows that he was prepared. That to me shows that I'm prepared to answer pretty much every single question I get, that I'm going to report. I'm going to point my finger to the report. I'm going to point my finger to the investigation. I'm going to pretty much respect what the commissioner of baseball had to say. To me, that was what Jim Crane said from start to finish of that press conference. So that shows to me that he prepared. And on the second note of that, to me, he was protecting his players the entire way throughout. Because as we talk today, several hours after what Jim Crane, Houston Astros owner, said in West Palm Beach, Florida earlier this morning, he's the one that's being talked about. He's the one that's being criticized, not his players. He took the heat for his players earlier today. You might not like the strategy. You might not like the philosophy. You might want him to be a little bit stronger. I think you're crazy. You might want him to be stronger.
You're going to sit here and try to tell me that you think that Jim Crane leaned on the report and didn't say anything by design so that he would be the fall guy and nobody would be talking about his players. Is that what I just heard you say?
That's part of it, yes. That's part of the reason, yes. And then, two, he doesn't want to irritate the Major League Baseball commissioner's office anymore.
Chief, you got to get some damn sleep, Chief. You got to get you some damn sleep.
Just because I disagree with you doesn't mean that I've lost my mind.
That wasn't a disagree. That was a total different spin on it. I like it, though. I like it, baby. I love it.
Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leaders, Sports Radio 610. When we come back, Adam Spolane, Sports Radio 610 reporter. He's out in West Palm Beach, Florida. He was at the press conference held by Jim Crane, Dusty Baker, Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve, and he was in the clubhouse this morning. What were his biggest takeaways? We ask Adam next on Houston Sports Leaders, Sports Radio 610. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leaders, Sports Radio 610. Adam Spolane, SportsRadio610.com reporter, is out in West Palm Beach, Florida. thanks to Texas Bay Credit Union. He was there this morning for the press conference, and many feel didn't go so well. He was there for the clubhouse media availability, which some felt went really well. Adam, what was your biggest takeaways of the press conference, first and foremost?
I thought the press conference did not go well. I don't think the way they handled it, the way they scheduled it, if they would have just done clubhouse today, then things would have been, then just the public perception of this thing would have been a whole lot different. But, I thought Jim Crane's opening statement was fine. I thought having the players, Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve, just doing a couple of brief statements the way they did and then just kind of hauling them away, I don't think that was a real good look. Dusty Baker was fine. Dusty Baker's been fine throughout this whole process. And then the Jim Crane press conference afterwards, I did not think went well, which is, it's the first time really that Jim Crane has not looked good, I think, throughout this whole process. I thought he looked good by dismissing AJ Hinch and Jeff Luhnow as soon as he did. I thought he looked good during the Dusty Baker press conference. I thought he was fine during the James Glick press conference. But today it was a little bit different for him.
Adam, what do you think about I've been harping on JB. We've been arguing all day. I don't know if you're listening, but we've been arguing all day about the – like, just, it seems like they were very unprepared for that – the press conference aspect of what went on today. And every time I talk to – we talked to Brandon Scott earlier, sportsradio610.com. Now I hear you say it. Everybody I talk to just leads me to believe that, one, they were extremely unprepared for that portion of it, and that not a whole hell of a lot of thought went into executing and putting that thing together. So it leads me to the point of, like, why the hell even do it?
I think you do it because you have to do it, essentially. I don't really know why Jim Crane had to answer questions today, to be honest with you. When you think about it, he answered questions on January 13th. He answered questions when they introduced Dusty Baker. He answered questions during FanFest. He's answered plenty of questions. So I don't really quite understand why he had to answer more questions, and I think that's what got them in big trouble today. I think people wanted to hear from the players today because the players hadn't been heard from. So that was what today was about more than anything. And then Jim Crane just kind of got in the way of it, it feels like. And they should have known that these questions were coming. I mean, these are the questions that people have been asking for the last month. So the fact that if they were unprepared for those, that's a, kind of a bad look, if you ask me.
Adam Spolane, a Sports Radio 610 reporter for Sports Radio 610, joining us thanks to Texas Bay Credit Union. Adam, I thought that Crane was consistent throughout. I understand that not many people enjoyed what Jim Crane had to say, but consistent to me in the fact that he kept referring to the commissioner's report that seemed like an objective of his. I also think he was defending his players today, and that was part of the reason that he was answering some questions. Do you think that that was at all on the mind of Astro owner Jim Crane?
It might have been. For me, I don't know. I can't get into his thinking and his motivation because I don't know what it is. I think that he has defended the players plenty. Now, they had a meeting yesterday, and maybe that was something that the players said, hey, you haven't defended us enough throughout this process. I don't really know if Jim Crane should be defending the players, though, to be honest with you. I mean, what the players did was wrong, and they should have to own up to it. They did that to a certain degree today. I thought that his statement was fine. I thought some of the questions that he answered, he was ambiguous with it. They asked him, is it cheating? He said that they're breaking the rules. So he tried to straddle a line to me, it seems like, to protect the players more than anything else. And maybe he had to do that. Maybe that's how you keep the locker room together at this point. I don't know. This is a very interesting process. It's a process that we've never really experienced before. So we're about to figure this whole thing out all at once.
I think, Adam, I think one reason you mentioned earlier, like why even do it? I think the obvious reason is because there was national media that didn't have a chance to ask Jim Crane questions the last few times that he spoke. To my knowledge, this is the first time he's been in front of national media. Is that correct?
There have been national reporters at some of their stuff. I know when Dusty Baker was hired, that there were national reporters there, but it is hard to get everybody all in one place just because it's hard to prepare for it. It's hard to, you know, like with the when the report came out in that press conference, there was no national media there because everyone had an hour to prepare for it. With Dusty, you had essentially a day. So maybe that's part of it, but I don't think that answering questions from national reporters should be a media strategy. I don't think you can win that. I don't think that's a game that you can win. national reporters are going to come hard at you, and they came hard at Jim Crane today. Today, for me, it was about the players, and the players needed to answer questions. And after really months of sitting silent, they finally did. And some of them looked okay. Some of them did not. Some of them looked good. It was an odd day, to say the least, to start spring training.
Well, Adam, so where I wanted to go with that, brother, was what was the feel like in that particular environment where there were some people that hadn't asked Jim Crane? What was the feel like there from a difference perspective from being here in those settings? Because you've obviously been at damn near every one of them, whether they're out of state or in state. So what's the difference in feel of what you experienced this morning?
It was much more combative today than it has been. You had more follow-ups. You had more direct follow-ups with Jim Crane. I think the one that people are pointing to is the one that he had with Marley Rivera at the end of the press conference. That was the sort of stuff that you did not have in Houston, where the environment was a little bit more controlled. So I guess it's good that he didn't avoid those, but I don't know if his answers were terrific. And I think that's really the biggest problems. I think the biggest issues that they had today came from the questions from the national people. And then you saw it also with James Click, the general manager. They're asking him about the staffers that were named in the Wall Street Journal piece last week. And he says that they remain with the team, and people are following up with, well, how can you say that you want a solid baseball environment? You're keeping on these people that are cheaters. So the follow-ups were a little more pointed today with people than they have been in the past.
It'll be interesting if Click does keep those guys around, or if it's a fact that he just hasn't met with them yet, and eventually perhaps he does fire the guys that were mentioned. Adam Spillane of Sports Radio 610 is our guest. He's out in West Palm Beach, Florida, thanks to Texas Bay Credit Union. Adam, how does this play out going forward? How much, like, they're not going to get asked as many questions as they were asked today, and the Astros might just go no comment. We're going to, go back to what we said whenever we first got to West Palm Beach, Florida. How do you forecast this playing out over the next couple of weeks?
It's really hard to say. I know that. So you had the clubhouse was open right after the press conference, and that crowd was massive. And then the clubhouse was opened after the workout later this afternoon, and it thinned out. And there were pretty much just local people here at that point. So I am curious to see if the national people start to scatter to other camps, if they start to go home. I do think that there will be fewer people here tomorrow than there were today. And then I know Lance McCullers today said that we're answering the questions about this today, and then we hope to talk about baseball. So I think that's the hope tomorrow, is that the focus is actually on baseball. When we meet with Dusty Baker tomorrow, I think it's 9:00 Eastern. Then we'll talk about baseball questions about who's the fifth starter and who's going to be the 26th man. And James Click wanted to answer questions about the three batter minimum. I think that's what they're hoping to get to tomorrow. Will it happen? It remains to be seen. That's the one thing that I'm looking for, though.
Adam, take me back in the clubhouse today, though, man. Which players stood out to you in person as being more sincere, a little bit answering questions a little bit more? And obviously, I've seen the video. I know what the answer is for most of them, but I think there's some of them that, like Bregman, I think he just comes across as a little bit guarded, a little bit more guarded than I think people would like. Take us in that clubhouse real quick, man.
So Bregman, I wasn't in on that, but I do wonder, Clint, do you say that after seeing the statement as well? Because I think that for some people, they see Bregman's statement and then they see the questions, and that might color how they view both of them. So I can't answer Bregman. I was in there for Springer. I thought he was pretty forthright. I thought McCullers got a little emotional at times when he was talking with us. I thought Verlander was pretty standoffish and didn't want to answer a lot of questions about some of the details. That was the one thing. You heard players express regret and remorse about what had happened, but you did not hear anyone really get into why it happened and why they did not try to stop it when they all said that they knew that it was wrong. So there was just kind of the interesting dynamic there where they regretted it, but they wouldn't tell us why they didn't want to stop it at the same time.
Adam Spillane, great job today. Thanks for hopping on. Looking forward to your coverage for the rest of spring training.
Thanks, Jeremy.
You got it. Adam Spillane of Sports Radio 610, reporter for SportsRadio610.com. His visit brought to you by Texas Bay Credit Union, their whole stay in West Palm Beach, Florida. He and Brandon Scott, thanks to Texas Bay Credit Union. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. 713-572-4610. Let's go to Jason. Jason, you're on.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm just calling in to give you guys a perspective. I was born and raised in Los Angeles, and I grew up a Dodgers fan. I've been here for over 25 years, and To me, that 2017 World Series was like a match made in heaven. You know, I had the best of both worlds. You know, I could root and cheer for my team while my best friends and brothers that I've grown up with my whole life here, you know, they were rooting for their teams, and it was like the perfect storm. And I'm really sad that the report even came out and that we even found out about it. I'd rather not known at all about it, because it kind of tarnishes one of the best, if not the best, World Series that I've ever seen in my life. But I think that there's a lot of people in the city and a lot of Astros fans that are having a hard time distinguishing between stealing signs within the confines of the game and relaying signs live to a batter. I think that's where the separation comes in. Do I think that there were more teams than the Astros doing it? Well, obviously there were. There was the Red Sox. There was the Yankees. I haven't heard anything about the Dodgers stealing signs. I haven't seen anybody come out and say that they thought they were stealing signs. I've no evidence to believe that they were stealing signs. So there's that. Now, when I hear people saying that, well, you know, it did go seven games and we won it in their house. Well, we probably wouldn't have been into a game seven had they not been stealing signs at home. I mean, you look at somebody like Clayton Kershaw, who pitched in three games in that series, two of which were at home. And at home, he went 11 innings, five hits, one run. The one game he pitches in Houston, he goes up 4-0, which it was unheard of that at that point in time that Clayton Kershaw would give up a 4-0 lead in the fourth inning. And then all of a sudden he gets shelled for six runs and four hits. So, I mean, and then when you look at the separation between the batting averages from home to away.
Yeah, Jason, I'm gonna jump in because we've got a couple pushbacks against you. You can stay on the line if you'd like. The Brewers and the Mets were both suspicious of the Dodgers cheating. Nothing came of that, but there have been reports that both the Brewers and Mets reported to Major League Baseball that there were suspicions of the Dodgers cheating. I don't want to dive too much into that because I believe if you went up and down Major League Baseball, you're probably going to find a lot of this. Secondly, the Wall Street Journal piece, the first one that was written last Friday, actually says that the Astros were cheating on the road as well, that they were using these tactics on the road. So, yes, that the Astros went to L.A. and won the World Series against the Dodgers in the City of Angels. According to the Wall Street Journal piece, this was something that was going on the road as well.
Oh, wow, man. I haven't read that piece, so I can't really comment too much on that. But like I said, man, I mean, at the end of the day, I wish this wouldn't even have come out, whether it was true, whether it happened, what the extent of it went. I wish it wouldn't have came out at all, because to me, you know, regardless of what Jim Crane says or any of those guys in that clubhouse says, I don't believe the World Series was earned. And I definitely think that the title was tarnished. I'm not saying, hey, give it to the Dodgers, because hey, they didn't earn it either at that point in time.
Yep. Appreciate the call, Jason. But, and I think the point is that the Astros, he feels in his mind, the title has an asterisk next to it. And like people have talked about, well, should Manfred put an asterisk next to the Houston Astros 2017 championship? He doesn't have to. Does Barry Bonds have an asterisk on his home run list, whether it's the career or whether it's the season? No, it doesn't. You know why? Because it doesn't have to.
JB.
Because the court of public perception, everybody thinks he cheated. And
JB,
that's all that matters is if people think that they cheated. It doesn't matter.
Here's the deal,
Chief. If
Major
League Baseball puts an asterisk next to it or not.
Here's the deal. If you sit out there and you worry about a damn asterisk next to a World Series, then your ass needs to get a hobby. Like, I don't
That's
give
a bit harsh.
They can put. What are you talking about?
That's
like, man, put an asterisk next to it. What does that mean?
Well, it means that the Major League Baseball has ruled that it's tainted.
Okay.
They're not going to recognize it.
Oh, so what does that change in our lives? Why is that? Who cares? I mean, I don't want them to.
Not much.
But I don't want them to. But all I'm saying is, like, at the end of the day, you can't steal my joy, baby. You can't steal what that World Series meant to the city of Houston. Definitely right after Harvey, the timing of everything, you can't steal it. So do what you want. Put an asterisk next to it. Do whatever you want to do. It's like Reggie Bush. They go ahead and take Reggie Bush's Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
What did that accomplish?
Well,
he's still the best player in college football.
Sure,
and everybody knows
sure,
that.
But I bet Reggie Bush would like to have his Heisman Trophy.
But yeah, I'm sure he would like to. But if he was Reggie Bush, but the fans of Reggie Bush don't give a rip whether he's got the trophy or not. They still love the guy. All I'm saying is when it's all said and done with the Astros, The whole asterisk thing next to the
like there probably wouldn't be a banner at Minute Maid Park at the 2017
Minute Maid Park can do whatever the hell they want to do. Now you're talking about taking down and taking. You put an asterisk next to it; it's still there. You're just telling me something's a little bit off. That's fine. Whatever. If when I look at a list of World Series titles or national championships or Heisman Trophy winners, I don't look at that and go, "Well, that damn asterisk right there got them." You know what I mean? Like, I understand it means something. I understand we don't want it. And I understand it might bother some folks. But damn, man, come on. Get you a cold Coors Light and put your toes up. And come on, man.
713-572-4610. Let's go to Robert. Robert, what's up?
Robert, this is me.
Yeah, you're Robert.
Hello?
Are you Robert?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir. I wasn't too sure. But, you know, I want to say first off, I like 610 because I can learn a lot from it. And this is the first time I ever called in and got on the line. But we can't change what happened, 2017. And I believe 100% with Mr. Flores, Robert Flores, his statement. And then, of course, Adam Spillane. Yeah, they were a little hard on him. I had to see the video, but I'm sure those questions were pretty tough. But, you know, to get right back down to it, I think if I was in the minor league and this happened and I was hoping that maybe I could come up and play, maybe a penalty or some of the punishment would be, let's bring in some minor people and let them play and let the existing players teach them. And another thing is that I think Hinch was dealt with a little too severely because I've seen the way his interaction is with the players. They loved him. He loved them. Them both being back and forth. You play hard for somebody you respect. I think it's hard that he had to get fired behind that. But what I'm thinking and being in minors, I know that probably won't work. But just listen to – imagine if they're listening to it right now, some of those guys are jumping up and down and say, hey, give us a chance to play. Maybe we can play better if we're taught by these veterans. Am I way off track with that?
Appreciate the call, Robert. Yeah, you are. Not to be, I don't mean to sound a little harsh, but replacement players didn't work in 1994. Major League Baseball went on strike, and I don't think replacement players are the answer here. Look, the players had immunity. The players had immunity for taking part in Major League Baseball's investigation. None of the Astro players are going to be punished. Maybe Jim Crane could have answered that a little bit better today. We'll see what happens with the Red Sox scandal. The Astros are hoping that news breaks tomorrow, so all the national attention can turn to that. But also, those players won't be punished as well because they'll also have immunity, whatever comes out of that. My biggest problem with this whole thing is I wish that the entire league would be investigated. Because right now the Astros are the face of it,
don't.
Rightfully so.
You're
oh,
a
I
baseball
do.
Guy. You don't
oh,
want
I
that
do.
To
why? The players have immunity. It's not going to change the game. I mean, the players are still going to play. Why would I care?
Now you're being a smartass.
No, I'm not.
I can see it in your face.
No, I'm not. The players aren't going anywhere. None of the Astros are going to miss any time for this investigation. None of the Red Sox are going to miss any time.
Nobody wins, bro. Nobody wins when this kind of thing happens.
But misery loves company, and right now the Astros are in misery. They want some company.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. I mean, if they did a major, thorough investigation with every Major League Baseball team, it'd make the Astros feel a little bit better because I think people would talk less about it and direct everything towards them a little bit less, but it'd be ugly, man. You don't want that, dude.
Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, the 5 o'clock fire. One of the biggest takeaways from what happened this morning out in West Palm Beach. Were the Astros prepared? Were they not prepared? We'll get into the best of it with Houston Astro owner Jim Crane next on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.